Well, hello, my friends. Blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Troy Brewer coming at you strong from the podcast booth here at Open Door Church. Welcome, guys, to episode number 61. And my goodness, you're going to want to stay for this today because my good friend, Pastor Gerald Johnson, is going to be with me today. And he's going to tell you what it's like to go to hell. Like, what? Like, no, he knows because he's been there and Jesus showed up and delivered him. He's going to tell his whole story. I wouldn't really just call it a near-death experience. I would call it an encounter with the Lord that changes everything, and it's going to change you as well. So stick with me. I double dog dare you. And if you're scared, what I have to say to you, stick around, man. This is going to be an amazing show today. First of all, I got to tell you that in the news today, all eyes are upon Manhattan as they have been this whole season. It's all about the Big Apple. And yesterday we saw this tragedy of this knucklehead, this demon-possessed dude that goes in there from Las Vegas, shoots a bunch of innocent people. He's insane. He's out of his tree. He's demon possessed. And now New York is left with the aftermath of what should we do with this? Should we defund the police as the new mayor that they're thinking about? The new Muslim communist mayor that they're thinking about electing is coming in. Literally a communist, literally a radical Muslim. And like, okay, should we listen to that? Or is there another path for us? Man, that's a big deal. Sean Foyt continues to be in the news, and he took on hell with a water pistol and how he went to Canada and said, no, I think we're going to worship the Lord here. And again, the socialist mayor and the antichrist spirit that is at work within those governments said, no, you're not. And he said, yes, I am. And they got in this big tug of war. And you know what? Victory. Hundreds and hundreds of people baptized. The Spirit of the Lord is there. If you'll notice, there's this theme that's going on right now, and it's this. The Spirit of the Lord is wherever people are being brave. You're going to have to be brave in this day, friends, that all of us are living in today. And in just a few minutes from now, I'm going to pray for you about your bravery. Speaking of brave, my beautiful bride is still on the other side of the world, and she's gone for 29 days. In 36 years of marriage and in 40 years of us being together, we dated for 4 years. We'd never been apart 29 days. And it's like, oh, my gosh. She calls me every day saying, I want to kiss you. I want to kiss you. I'm like, hold on, honey. Hold on. You're almost there. And she's doing so good. And one of the things that we do is we rescue the rescuers. And I got a video and a story to tell you about a great, big, huge ministry thing that we did yesterday. It's really off the wall, but it's so Leanna Brewer. It's so like her. And I'm going to tell you about that. Also, here in a minute, we are going to pray. And whenever we do pray, one of the things I want to pray about is we have friends in Israel that do amazing things. And you guys know that we work with operators all over the world in rescuing kids out of sexual trafficking. And Israel is one of the big places we do that. We know lots of intelligence friends and those kinds of people. And we got a call this morning saying, we need you to pray. We need you to pray right now because there's some next level operations that's going on in the Gaza area that should be being announced here within the next 24 hours, I believe, that tremendous breakthrough and things that we've been praying about. And I think it's probably all I need to say about that, except for to say this, God hasn't forgot those hostages. He hasn't forgot them. On the Ugandan front, our ministry in Uganda, where we've been there for over 30 years, guys, we are continuing to build our newest refugee center over there. And I want to tell you, I got some really big praise reports from some people we just now rescued in Western Uganda. And I wonder if you're going to come go with us whenever we go again in the month of September. And well, let's see, what else do I need to tell everybody? I'm going to be on Blurry Creatures next week. I'm all jazzed about that. And I'll tell you more about that. What else can I tell you? Oh, I was in the Kerrville area yesterday. And while I was down there yesterday, we talked to a bunch of our rescuers. And again, we're rescuing the rescuers. That theme is a big part of the ministry and the assignment that King Jesus has given me. Find the people that are doing the kingdom stuff and back them up and help them. And so today, guys, we have a bunch of heavy equipment that we're going to be bringing down there today, including that brand new skid steer that we just bought last week. Wow. And by the way, hey, ODX family, ODX partners, everybody that gives, hey, thank you for that. That's what Jesus looks like to a family that is living in the midst of this unbelievable devastation where the body of Jesus can show up and say, man, we want to clean up this mess and we want to start rebuilding your house. And that's what we do. And I went down there and I spent a bunch of time down there yesterday, and it was amazing. And I met this amazing couple down there, and you guys have probably heard about it. This 82-year-old dude that walked his wife through the river 150 yards, grabbed a hold of her arm until it broke. And literally, I don't know how they were not swept away because they were neck deep and they were literally walking across. They walked 150 yards. Listen, you guys got to know this. The river swept off all of their clothes. That's how strong the river was. Still didn't sweep them away. Nobody knows how. They both lost their hearing aids. They both lost their glasses. And they both lost their teeth. It's like, man, that is a powerful river. And the dude walked his wife through that river by the power of God and survived it. Nobody knows how in the world they were not swept away. So now we are in the teeth ministry. And they're supposed to get their choppers today. They're supposed to come in the mail today, which is going to be really funny. We present to you your teeth in Jesus' name and your glasses and your hearing aids. And as you can see, they got closed. So there's a bunch of other things, too, that we're giving them. And we'll have a whole lot more on all those things. So, friends, y'all know what to do. Ask people. And I'm asking you right now, will you comment? Will you comment? Let us know where you are. Let us know who you are. Please like, share, comment, get in the fight, all those different things. And I'm about to lead everybody in prayer. So you guys ready to do this?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. King Jesus, we have so much to glorify you with today. And Father God, sir, there are so many amazing things, God, that are happening and taking place. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, for simple solutions to complicated issues. I declare that where there has been anxiety, now there's peace and confidence, Lord God. I declare, God, that where there has been sickness, now there is healing, Lord God. Where there has been nothing, now there is something, because my Redeemer lives. Jesus, you are my Redeemer, sir, and I love you so much. And I pray, Father God, sir, that your Holy Spirit would move through these cameras into every single person that is watching all over the world. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, joining me here at the table today is Miss Shay and Mr. Shiloh. So happy to see y'all today.
Hello. It's good to see you, Pastor.
Well, it's good to see you. So I know that. So what are you doing here? And what's Brother Shiloh doing here with me? He's just hanging out?
He's hanging out with his mom because he got a little injury just before we were coming on. And
he's
so tough, and
he's so big.
He is very tough.
He is tough. He's a good boy.
He is a good boy. You know, sometimes boys need their mommy time, so.
Yeah, that's okay.
He needed a little extra mommy time.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Come join us for the Pulse. He knows that we do this every week. He's always like, Mom, did you do the Pulse today? So he's joining us today. Yeah, we're doing the Pulse. We're doing it.
So what should I tell everybody? I know we got some new ODX members.
Okay, so we have a bunch of new members in our ODX family. We've got some new Lifetime members and a bunch of new Stage 3 members. Chris, do you have those names?
Yeah, we're excited to add Austin and Mads, I hope I'm saying that right, as our new Lifetime members, our Stage 3. We got 7 new partners this past week. Wendy in Georgia, Tony in North Carolina, Diane in Kansas, Teresa in Wisconsin, Angie in Texas, Heather in Texas, and Deborah from Florida, as well as we got 4 brand new Stage 2 partners. Jenny,
outstanding.
Terry. Awesome. Damari, hope I'm saying that right, and Lauren.
Well, it's good to see you guys, man. Welcome, guys, to the ODX family. And you need to know that we are loading up so many videos that are now available to you we really can't keep up with it, including last week I was speaking to Congress in Mexico City and got to address the actual Congress in the congressional building. And I gave a speech on how that we have to end slavery and that if we have been set free, how that we have to set others free. And we can't stop that regardless of our politics. You know, the Mexican government's not very happy with us Americans right now for shutting down the border. And I actually addressed that. And I went, listen, I know y'all are mad, but I'm not here as a politician. I'm here as a man of God that says I have been rescuing children in your nation for over 30 years, and I need you to help me. And I got a big standing ovation, and it was awesome. And then we had a tremendous breakthrough. We had a miracle happen that I'll be sharing with you in just a few minutes. But first, I want to say hi because I see there's people here from Pakistan. I see people here from South Africa. I saw my friend from Australia is here. Who else is here?
Yes, sir. So we got Joe from Maryland, Carrie from Kansas. We got CDC from India. We got Pablo from Argentina. We have Priscilla from Georgia. We got Gwen from Nashville. We got Judy from Michigan. We got Jean from Grapevine. We got someone, Renee from Joshua, Texas. Donald from Whitney, Texas. Do not forget, I love what Pastor said at the beginning. Comment and share. We love what we say here in-house. This is how you can be, and we are, being media missionaries. When you comment and you share, you don't know who's on the other side of the screen that needed to hear today's word, today's scripture. And we just want to remind everybody to please comment, share, do the little ring on YouTube. And it's going to be a great podcast today. Also, we want to remind everybody watching, we have a 24/7 prayer line. I love what God put in Pastor Troy's heart. And we have men and women ready. They're intercessors. They've been fasting. They are prepared prayer warriors. We have miracle signs happening all at all times. And let me tell you, don't hesitate. Anytime during the show, pick up the phone. Call us at 877-413-0888. God has a word for you. So please call us at any time.
Hey, listen, okay. All you guys that are brand new, stage one, stage two, and stage three at ODX.TV. I know that you already know this, but you actually are helping us rescue and raise kids all over the world. I know you already know that, but I just got to tell you, wow, it's not just about the content, which is we are loading up and loading up and loading up, but it's actually just about our partnership. By the way, it's 111. I see 111 everywhere. Yeah. Y'all 111 people?
And 222.
Yeah, I see 222 everywhere. Mm-hmm. I see 1111 a lot. Jehovah, the name Jehovah, the numerical value or the gematria of that in Greek is actually 111.
Wow.
So if you know, like Jesus is 888, right? Christ is 555, right? You know, y'all know, you guys know that. But you know what that is? It's actually 111 times 8. That's 111 times 5. That equals 555, right?
Yeah.
So it's when Jehovah shows up. It means the manifest presence of the Lord, 111 does.
Wow.
Not like
He's
that.
Here. That's powerful.
See, that's why you don't ever want to miss a single show here, guys.
Exactly. You
just hang out.
That wasn't on the notes.
It wasn't in the notes.
Drop the Holy Spirit nuggets.
Oh, sorry. Totally unscripted whatsoever. Okay. Listen, but if you're a part of stage two or part of stage three, one of the cool things that you're about to be a part of is our show that we're launching this fall that is called The Counter. And I'm about to ask you to bring up The Counter video, run on. And you know what? It has my good friend, Pastor Alan DiDio. It's got Joseph Z, it has Tony Merkel, it has Brian Schwartz, and has Darren Stott. And we are in the editing we're editing a snot out of this thing. And this thing is not just a podcast. This is a crazy cool television show that is exclusive to ODX.TV. Watch this. This is going to be one of the greatest shows ever, and I'm so excited about it. So, friends, be looking for Joseph Z. We're Christians. We're believers in Jesus.
Right.
Darren Stott.
This can be redeemed. Your marriage can be restored.
Alan DiDio.
God speaks through authority. He always has, and he always will.
Tony Markle.
And so it should be a call to the men of the household to be strong in their position and don't abandon the post.
Brian Schwartz.
That means we have his memory. We have his insight. We have his perspective.
And yours truly for a brand new show that's called The Counter. You'll be able to find it exclusively at stage two and stage three of ODX.TV. Well, you always have to wait for the boom at the end of that because I'm a sound effects guy. I'm all about sound effects. If that doesn't happen in real life, it happens in my head. I know you're like that,
oh,
right?
Absolutely.
I'm like that very much. I've done a lot of editing in my life, and I've done a lot of stuff that has to do with music, and I'm like, yeah, I'm always thinking of cool sounds. Anyway, I'm super excited about that. As a matter of fact, I sat down last week, and I watched episode one, and it's on portals. That's what episode one is on. And it's on how portals work all over the planet and what are they biblically and what does that look like and what is CERN all about and what is this all about. And oh my gosh, it's so good. You saw it with me.
Yeah, it's wild. I think there is no stone left unturned. There is no topic off limits. And to have a table of such prophetic voices all in the same place to talk about it and also laugh. Like that's the other, it's so like prophetically deep. But you guys also have a lot of fun.
Well, I'm a nut.
It's
and
fun.
I don't like people that don't like to have fun.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I'm sorry, but I don't like you. You know, and that usually doesn't go over well.
It's so good. I can't wait for people to
see
it.
No, we do have fun. We do have fun. And it is really good. And listen, I've been a part of a lot of TV shows, and I can tell you, I think that this is the very best TV show I've ever been a part of, and it's ours. It belongs to ODX.TV. So if you're signed up, be looking for it. We're going to have a big red carpet grand opening later on during the year. You're going to find out about that. And if you're ODX Stage 3, you're going to get the first tickets to that. You're going to get first chance to that. All right. You guys know that I just got back from Mexico, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And guys, we got to rescue so many kids. And I was in Chiapas, Mexico. I was in Tuxtla. I was in Cristobal, San Cristobal. I was in Mexico City. I was in Guatemala before that. We got in those little bitty tiny planes and flew all over those mountains like crazy people. Golly. We went into this satanic place of worship that belongs to the cartel. The cartel invited me in there. And I was showing you guys evidence of that earlier, which I can't show everybody. I was literally invited by the cartel to come into their place of witchcraft so that they could see what it is that we're up against there. And I mean, we, honest to God, and I'm not just saying this, we did not know if we were going to leave there alive. And I mean, this was last week. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, I can't believe we're doing this, but we did it. We did it because, man, we wanted to put our feet on the ground and we wanted to declare that there's a new sheriff in town, that Jesus is here. Amen. Now. Amen. And we're not going to put up with the slavery that happens down here. They did animal sacrifices in front of us. They did all kinds of witchcraft in front of us and a bunch of other things I'm not going to go into because it's too dark. And they let us know, this is what you're up against.
I loved how you and Pastor Brian stood at the pagan, for lack of a better word, the pagan altar and declared back, like, listen, you're not impenetrable.
Wow.
And awesome. So for those of you guys that don't know, you know, there was literally a demonic presence that showed up in my house after we rescued the very first child down there. And once we, and also the team of people that we went with down there, it was such a dangerous trip. I didn't go on that trip. Suwanami was on that trip. She was the spearhead of all that. The guy that came to the airport to pick us up was murdered on the way to the airport. Mm. And I mean, like, okay. And that was their message of, you don't want to do this. And Suwanami went in there anyway, the crazy Mexican woman that she is.
Oh, my God, the Lord has brought me here.
And she went in there and rescued that little girl. Praise and loved that little girl so much. I'm that little girl's dad. For the rest of her life, I'll be her papa. But she rescued that little girl. And then after I did a Zoom call with her, and that little girl had been trafficked so much, she knew where all the trafficked kids were. Wow. Mm. She knew exactly, you know, where the movie studios were, where all the stuff was. And we're like, okay. So God really used that first little girl that we rescued to really tear down trafficking in the entire region. I get off the phone, I'm doing a Zoom call, and I'm telling her, I love you so much, and I'm going to buy you a pretty princess dress, and I want to see your twirl, and you got to do the princess twirl, and I always tell them that. And I hung up the phone by putting down my computer, and immediately I was in my barn and I was upstairs in my library, and immediately I heard somebody coming up the stairs, and I said, who is that? Hey, who's there? And I heard a voice say, impenetrable. And I went, impenetrable? I was like, who? And then I was like, who's on my property? I mean, I live on a ranch. It's got a big gate. It's a long way to my house. And I jumped up. You know, the devil's a coward. He wasn't there. I was like, you're not impenetrable. Like, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I'm going after kids in your region. So when we went to that unholy altar and into that unholy place, literally when I was up there, and I mean, there's cartel guys with guns watching us. Like, they're liable to kill us at any minute. And I mean, they're like, you take a picture, you die. You disrespect us, you die. This, that, you die. All these things. Like, okay, we got it. You know, thank you. Like, so we go up to that unholy altar, get up there, and I said, devil, you are not impenetrable.
Amen. Amen.
You so should good. Have never yeah. come to my house.
That's fantastic. Mm. Taking the fight right.
Amen. Like this, thank you, Jesus. You're not,
I'm here.
And I believe there's going to be a revival there.
I brought mm-hmm. Jesus with me. Yeah. I can feel the Lord right now.
Yeah.
Like, I have a holy assignment to get into your grill, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
And that's true. That actually happened.
That whole area needs Jesus.
I just want to show you a video. This is some of the kids that we rescued, and some of the kids that we rescued a while back that are actually in our rescue home. And right after this video, just about 5 minutes from now, guys, don't forget, I'm going to have Pastor Gerald Johnson is going to be with us. He drove up here all the way from Austin, and he's going to tell you about his amazing encounter with King Jesus that saved a man in every way that a man can be saved. He actually saw hell, and we're going to talk about it. And wow, so you want to hold on. You want to hold on, man. All right, I want to show you this video. These are our rescued kids in Mexico at the premier home for trafficked kids in the entire nation. That's why Congress invited me to speak there. They're like,
There's nobody rescues kids more than you do, and nobody puts them in nicer houses, and nobody's been doing this longer than you. And it's my very first time that I was ever invited to speak to Congress. Happened last week. Watch this.
Pastor Troy me ha dado un hogar y una casa. Y este es mi peluche favorito.
Pues yo le doy tantas gracias al Pastor Troy porque él me dio un techo en donde vivir, porque me dio amor. Él me está ayudando a crecer, a ser yo misma. Yo le doy tantas gracias y que lo amo muchísimo.
Well, here we are in Mexico City.
Yes, we're back.
And we're here at one of our rescue centers. So we get here, we go inside the door, and then boom. They have this great big presentation yes. for us, like Papa Troy, Mama no. Leanna. They kiss us, they hug us. Yes. They got special things that they made for us.
Para mí, Papá Troy me ha regalado una nueva oportunidad, me ha regalado un hogar, una familia, amor y una nueva oportunidad de ser activista.
El Pastor Troy me ha dado muchas oportunidades, como estar en una casa muy buena.
Papá Troy me ha ayudado mucho.
De verdad, he tenido aquí el tiempo de estudiar, de jugar, comprarles cosas a Michelle, que la consientan mucho.
Se logró hacer mi fiesta de 15 años.
Por él está creciendo mucho la casa.
Porque me dio un techo.
Y estoy mejor que allá afuera.
Todo por amor.
Aprender a leer.
Con mi bebé y con mi hijo.
No nos falte comida.
Tener una familia.
Well, hallelujah. Every single one of those kids, part of their faces that you saw belonged to an entire face of somebody who was once a slave, and now they're actually set free. And now we raise them. That, of course, is a big thing that makes us different. In all the human trafficking conventions I've been a part of and all that, I always see somebody that either brings awareness, which is about 90% of everybody that's a part of something, they bring awareness somehow, or they are rescuers, and that's a really big deal, or they raise them. And guys, we do all three, and that's what we do, and that makes us different. And the reason I'm able to do that is because you partner with me. And I want to encourage you guys, I double dog dare you, go to troybrewer.com and stand with me. And come on, be an awesome giver today and help us do this. Raising kids is a money pit. It is a monster money pit, and it costs a lot of money to do this. And guys, we continue to say yes almost on a daily basis of rescuing a kid. So if I don't get a call every single day of somebody we've rescued, I get one at least once every 3 days. And that's a lot of kids, man, throughout the year. And every time I say yes, it is at least $1,200 a month in raising those kids. And that's a lot. That's a lot when you have over 4,500 kids under your care right now, and that number is growing. So go to troybrewer.com. Help us continue to be the hands and feet of King Jesus. I'm trying not to choke up. It's what I'm trying not to do because I love these kids. And I know their stories, and I know their destiny and their future, and they are beautiful, and I love them so much. Or you can call the number on screen, call 877-413-413. 0888 and call somebody. Come on, don't be a chicken. Call us and say, hey, man, I got to stand with Pastor Troy and I got to help you guys. And if you're a snail mail person like what I am, I'm old school, man. I've never bought anything off of Amazon in my life. I think some Chinaman's going to hijack my credit card or something. I don't know what's going to happen. If you just like to write out a snail mail check, you can write it out to this right here on your screen, and you see it on there. Okay, before I finish up here and before I go to my special guest, you guys, is there anything in particular that I left out that you guys wish I would have done?
Nope, tomorrow night you will be preaching here at Open Door Church for our midweek service.
I will be preaching Open Door. Yeah. I will. I'll be here tomorrow night.
Yes, sir. And we're ready.
Yeah, you got everything?
Yeah, we're excited.
Sir.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Ready. Buckle your seatbelts. Friends, I'm going to transition here just a little bit. And I'm going to tell you that a few months ago, I was invited by President Trump's Faith Council. What is that called? The Faith-Based Advisory Board?
National
Faith-Based Advisory Board. I'd never been a part of anything like that before. I was invited and went, yeah, sure, I'll go. Let's go. And I went out there, and it was during the time that I was changing my schedule. I was traveling for 6 weeks, and it fell on the only time in a six-week period that I could actually go. The rest of it was all booked up. And I got to do a lot of fun things. I got to pray for a lot of people. I got to be a part of a big international scandal of these people up there praying in the spirit, in which one of my fellow troublemaking brothers is here with me. He was there. I'm going to tell on him right now. He was there. He was there praying at the West Wing. He was there. I saw him. And I got to do that, and that was really good. But you know what? The best part out of all of that was meeting men and women of God who are in the fight, who I just go, oh, I love these guys. This one brother that I'm about to introduce to you is somebody that I went, okay, I told him as soon as I met him, will you please come, and will you please tell your story, and will you please come? I want to start doing life with this man of God. I love him already. I know that you will too. Guys, this is Pastor Gerald Johnson. Hello, sir.
Thank you for having me. This is an amazing experience so far. I want to just say right away, I am blown away by what God is doing through you, through your heart. And I want to be a part of this. There's an old saying that if you want to be blessed, you find someone that's helping God and you help them.
Amen.
So I just want to encourage everyone that's listening, help out. Now, this is the real deal.
Thank you. Well, it is. You know, it's not flawless. And I don't even try to be flawless, to tell you the truth. You know, I just want to be Jesus and I just want to be real. And I'm surrounded by amazing people that are doing incredible. I got teams all over the world right now. My wife is somewhere else in the world. And I mean, this is just the life that we live. And God has just really blessed me with amazing teams and blessed us with incredible influence all over the planet. It's ridiculous. I don't even understand it, Pastor Old. I really don't.
It's the hand of God.
It is the hand of God. I'm just saying yes. I'm just going to keep on going. Right on. Well, I'm so happy that you're here today. And you're from Austin.
Yeah, yeah.
So you pastor Faith Culture Church in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, we've so originally we were born, my wife and myself, in Detroit, Michigan.
Okay.
And in 2008, the Lord gave us a word that we needed to go to Austin, Texas and start a ministry. And I said that, you know, even though it was the Lord, I said the devil is a liar because I didn't want to leave my church home.
I don't imagine.
I thought that Texas was a cacti, tumbleweed, cowboys, sure. People shooting up people. We had never been here before. But we obeyed the Lord in 2011. We came down, and I remember one of the first things thinking, like, it's actually a McDonald's here and people here. And the rest is, I thought
that we have electricity. Yeah. We actually have electricity here. It's incredible.
Yeah, coming from up north, you think, you know, it's country down there. But
yeah, we think the same thing about Detroit. I mean, if Jesus told me, Detroit, you got to pack up and go to Detroit, I'd say the devil is a liar because I'm terrified of that place.
Yeah, Detroit is tough.
What I think of it is probably true, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then some. Yeah.
I don't think I'd last very long up there.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. Detroit is a fatherless place. It's a place of many, you know, many young men who've grown up without the influence of a man. So when that happens, the streets raise you, music raises you, drugs raises you. But just so happened, I had got into contact with a great man of God, Apostle Wayne T. Jackson, and he placed his hands in my life through God and helped to raise me to be something different.
Okay, so I saw your beautiful bride today. Mm-hmm. And so you guys pastored this church in Austin, Texas. How long have y'all been down there?
14 years.
14 years. Wow.
Yeah. And okay. Austin is an unchurched city in the middle of a churched state.
Yeah.
So it's very, if you can make it as a
good
pastor
description.
There. Yeah. If you can make it as a pastor there, you've got something. It's...
Well, I want to just tell you, you moved to the least Texan city in the entire state, so you're definitely safe there.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. Well, now I have a lot of friends in Austin, and like I told you, I just was down there yesterday, and God Almighty gave you a heart for that place. You go into that place. It's like going to a foreign country.
Yeah.
I mean, it truly is like going to a foreign country, man, when you move from one end of the nation to the other end of the nation.
Mm, yeah.
And you got to be brave, man. You have to be brave.
You know, growing up in Michigan, it's really culturally divided, especially in Detroit. It's like if you live in Detroit, you're black. So coming here was a culture shock. And I remember one experience, if you don't mind me saying, when the Lord was teaching me that diversity is divine, division is diabolical. Mm. So he allowed me to go hunting with two white men. Deep in the woods.
You're like, I got to trust these jokers with guns.
Absolutely. And with a strong Texas twang. and trust that I wouldn't be the meal, you know. So, but I learned some of the most valuable lessons in life and some of the greatest experiences and expressions of God's love through white men.
Mm, that's beautiful. So I'm going to just throw this on my end, if you don't mind me.
Go for it.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Man, 30 years ago, God told me to pack it up and go to Uganda.
Wow.
I'd never known anybody been to Uganda. I didn't know anybody in Uganda. Mm-hmm. And me and my wife packed up and we went to Uganda. And God told us the first work that we do in a foreign country would be in Uganda. And I honestly thought the cannibals are going to get me. And they're not much telling you know what's going to happen. And we did. I was so ignorant that I didn't realize Uganda was at war with Congo at that time. And so the whole time we were in a war zone, and I'd never even been in a war zone before. But same exact thing, what I saw and what I experienced there was, well, I mean, we started going, you know, we've been twice a year to Uganda every year for the past 30 years. Leanna's been, Leanna typically goes four times a year to Uganda because we have so many kids there. Mm. But then isn't that amazing how God Almighty will use other people that you never would imagine, you didn't grow up with, it doesn't come from your culture, it doesn't come from your people, to show you something about Jesus that you would have never saw.
Absolutely. Sometimes you'll stay stunted if you're loyal to your own soil.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
In our Revelation, we see that he said, I saw a place where there was every tongue, every culture, every kindred.
That's right.
And that's a reflection of heaven.
Okay, so... So, and by the way, and your church is called what? It's called Faith Culture Church?
Yeah, Faith Culture Church.
Before I go any further, where is that at? Where is it in Austin?
Well, Faith Culture right now is located in a city called Round Rock.
Oh, yeah, I know Round Rock.
Yeah, which is just off of, just away from Austin. But we're actually building a location now on I-35 in Austin itself.
Wowzers.
So the hand of God came for us to be able to serve more people.
I didn't know there was any place to build left on I-35.
It's not. There's not.
That's crazy.
The Lord made room for us.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, yeah, Round Rock, Texas. That's where Sam Bass was killed. I'm a big Texas history guy. So I'm a big. Wow. Okay. Well, that's before I start talking about old cowboys. And sorry. You're here. You were telling me whenever you and I were in Washington, D.C., you were telling me that, I don't know, we were in the Congress building, actually, and we were praying in there. You and I were in there praying together. And we got to talking, and I don't know what brought this up, but I was like, how do you know Jesus or whatever? We were having one of those conversations, and you said, oh, you died. And the Lord came and saved you.
A near-death.
And so you had like a true near-death experience, like where you...
It was what felt like a true near-death experience, but when we get into it, I'll explain exactly.
All right. Well, let's get off into it, and let's tell everybody. Okay. Tell us what happened.
Okay, so I'm a pastor, as we say, in Austin, Texas, and pastoring is tough, especially when you're doing it from your heart. And I didn't know at that time that that the old expression, sheep stink. And I was trying to help people, and I ended up getting buffeted by a lot of different people that I couldn't get back at, because the Lord, you know, when you get saved, it's turn the other cheek. So after you take blow after blow after blow after blow, and the Lord says, say nothing, it builds up on you. I remember one night sitting up in my bed, it was February 2016, sat up in my bed with the weight of all this stuff on me. I started feeling my heart pounding in my chest, and I thought that I was having a heart attack. And I thought, well, this is it. All my affairs are in order. And I collapsed on my bed. When I did that, my spirit came out of my body. And although heaven is not really up, heaven is a realm, you know, I thought I would be going up. But as I felt like I was going up, I actually began to descend down into the, and I knew that I was
that's
going.
That's not good.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good at all. I knew that I was going to the center of the earth. And every time I talk about it, I get emotional because it's very real. I'm thinking, I know that I'm living my life right. I know that I mean, we talked about the fear of God earlier. I know that I'm not perfect, but I fear God. And I live right. I try to do my best by my wife and my church home. Why would I be heading down? I go down and I land in a place that the best way to describe it is that this place is a place of torment. It wasn't a bunch of fire like most people say, but you can tell that there was heat somewhere. You can tell that there was the greatest feeling there is a loss of hope. So I land in this place and I'm upset with God because why would this be my eternity? And just to describe some of the things that I saw, two things stood out to me. One was that I looked to my left, and there was a man there on all fours like a dog, and he was burned from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and his eyes were bulging out. And what was worse than that is that there was a chain on his neck. And what was worse than that is who was holding the chain. There was a demon holding the chain around this man's neck. And things there, it's like in heaven. They're not said, they're known. It's like almost like a telepathic thing. You just know what's happening. That demon that was holding this man, holding the chain that's around this man, I knew that he had been in this man's life when he was on the earth. And he knew that if I could ride this man's life long enough, then I'll have a certain control or power over him in the afterlife. And this man was like a human slave dog. And there was nothing he can do. He was just tormented and he was looking at me. And then I looked over to my right and there was another space to my right and there was music playing, actual music. And it was the same music that you would hear on the earth, but demons were singing it. And same thing about, you know, it wasn't said, it was just known that a lot of the music that's in the earth right now, it is inspired by demonic spirits. Oh yeah. So when they're receiving lyrics, when they smoke and get high to get a lyric, when they do whatever they do to get lyrics and to get bars and to get all this, a lot of times they're channeling demons who are giving them verses. And I also knew that a lot of the music that comes through is for the purpose of getting in the hearts of men and women so that they won't worship God. Because if you're full of that kind of music or that kind of, if that's occupying your soul, when you get to church or at home and you're worshiping, it comes out as anger. So I was made aware of that. Some of the music that we listen to right now, this is where that's coming from. In that place, it's just a place of hopelessness, a place of torment, and it's almost like a place of revenge. And so while I'm pondering these things, thinking that this is my destiny, and it wasn't a very long time. I can't tell you exactly how, you know.
I just got to stop. So literally up until this time, you think this is how you're going to spend eternity.
Yeah. Yeah.
I cannot even imagine. Mm-hmm. And like you were a man of God when all this took place.
Absolutely.
But up until this second, you have no idea why, but you're in hell. And this is it. This is how you're going to spend eternity.
It plays
King Jesus.
Yeah. It plays on abandonment issues because I grew up fatherless as well for the most part. And it felt like, okay, here's another man. Let me down. I did my part, but now you're abandoning me. You know, and that feeling, he allowed that feeling to be on me. It wasn't
King Jesus.
It wasn't truth, but he wanted me to see something, you know. So after that, I was transported back up through there, and I went back through the room, through my room, up into to the sky, and I'm just not allowed to talk about what I saw over the earth.
Okay.
I can't talk about that part, but
I love that. Can I just stop?
Sure.
How do you know that you're not allowed to talk about it?
It's just annoying.
Yeah, you know.
Yep.
You know. So Paul talked, you know, in the New Testament it says that these things are not lawful to speak of. And then of course in the book of Revelation it says you can see it, but you can't write it down. You can't tell. Right?
Yep.
And so that is a very real heavenly thing.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So you came out of this knowing I've seen that and I know what that is, but I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Absolutely.
I love that. Yep. Oh, yep. I love that.
Some of it's happening right now.
Okay.
So I go back down through back into my room, back into my body, and this is the part that is the most powerful out of all of it, is that Jesus was in my room. Now I had been walking with him for years and years, but never saw him. I saw angels before, you know, I saw demons before, but I never saw Jesus. He was in my room. He comes to me, and he rebukes me. But it was the most love I had ever felt in my life through that rebuke. His eyes, and anyone who's ever seen Jesus.
Come on. I've seen Jesus. I know.
Yeah. If you know his eyes. You know his eyes. Mm-hmm, you know love like no other. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dadgummit.
Yeah.
Jesus, we love you so much, Lord.
Love you,
Lord.
Love you, Lord.
Love you, love Jesus. You, Jesus. Mm. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I've seen your eyes and my brother has seen your eyes. Mm-hmm. Oh, we love you.
What he said to me was these words. He says, and I didn't know that this was in my heart. He said, you have been secretly hoping that I hurt the people that hurt you. He said, these are not your people. These are my people. And he said, and from this day forward, I only want you to focus on the assignment that I've given you, because I'm going to do something through you that the world hasn't seen. And he said, he also said so many other things, but the weight of the power of those words was so heavy that I couldn't ascertain it. I think it's going to come to me at a later time, but it was so many powerful things that he said. I just can't pull it together. Yeah.
I totally get it.
What I knew from that is that he was basically showing me that I didn't send you to hell. I want you to see what hell is like for people who can't forgive. Because unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping that the other person gets sick, you know? And a person who can't forgive is a person that's forgotten how much they've been forgiven of. So I believe that that man that was on this all fours, I believe he was there because of unforgiveness. And I know that people are in hell right now, not because, oh, I was a fornicator, which that, if you stay in that lifestyle, you'll go there for that. Oh, I was an adulterer, not that, but you'll go there for that if you stay in that lifestyle. Unforgiveness, not forgiving people, is what causes people to spend an eternity, not only in hell, but in the lake of fire. You know, because what did he say? Jesus said this. He said in Matthew 6, he says, if you can't forgive others, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you.
Okay, may I stop you here, sir?
Please.
Okay. All right, so wait, I gotta ask you two things, because first of all, so you're in hell, and all of a sudden you start to ascend. So when you started to ascend, did you start to have hope that you were coming back to your life, or did you didn't know what was going on?
No, the feeling of that, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. I don't care who, I love my mother. If someone was to do something to my mother, I have to really pray a lot. Yeah. But I wouldn't wish that place on. That place is the feeling that you have, because you're not in your body. So your emotions are 10 times what they are here.
So much amplified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So you ascended. You come out of this. You're in hell. You think you're there forever. And then all of a sudden you start to ascend out. Did you know that it was the Lord that was pulling you out?
I really, it was just the fact that whoever this is.
Okay, so I have a good friend of mine, Sean Tabbitt. He wrote a book where they chronicled him and Randy Kay chronicled hundreds of stories like these, and they wrote a book on it. And one of the things that is always consistent is when you get in this place, there's no questions, there's no objections. You just go with whatever it is. It is what it is, and you got to deal with it. And that's real. So you start to get pulled out. You ascend. Was it immediately you were back in your room, or you said that you saw some things over the earth that you cannot talk about.
Correct.
Were you there for a while seeing these things that God was showing you?
About an equal, whatever the time space was that I was down there. And by the way,
so smart.
I believe that it's in the center of the earth.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah,
me too.
So that whatever the time space that was there, same time space.
Yeah, so it's so smart. You're talking about time space because I'm into all that as well. So big time. I totally get what you're saying. I got a book called Redeeming Your Timeline that I got to give you before we're done. But then you pulled out of that, and then you end up back in your room. When did you begin to feel relief of I'm not in hell anymore? When did that happen?
The moment I started to go up. The very moment. I mean, but the feeling of that stays on you for days afterwards. The feeling of being there, it stays on you. And for some reason, I think it really encouraged my evangelistic lifestyle because I don't want anybody. No, it's not the Lord's will that anyone should perish. You know, I don't want anybody going to that place. And I think he let me feel that to be able to help people from the clutches of that place.
Okay, so Jesus shows up in your room. There he is. You see him eye to eye. And you see Jesus Christ eye to eye. There you are. And you're talking to him. And what your takeaway from that he, I'm amazed that at his rebuke, you felt more love than you ever had. But that, because that's what the Word of God says, he chastens and he rebukes whom he loves. That's what the Word of God says. So then your takeaway from that, what Jesus says to you is this: I'm not playing when it comes to unforgiveness. Okay, you guys have heard me talk about I was on a show here a couple of weeks ago, and they were asking me, I'll just bring this up, because I have security teams all over the world. You know, we got guns, one of my guys got in a big shootout with cartel people down in the Amazon here last week. Rescuing kids. I'm around that kind of stuff a whole lot. People ask me, have you ever thought about killing anybody? In 30 years of doing it, I'm saying, yes, I have. And I'm sorry. And I've had to repent to my elders and come before them and say, I crossed the line in my spirit. I murdered somebody in my heart because I was with that little girl for hours and hours. And anyway, I literally quit personally rescuing. I crossed something in my mind where I went, no, I'm going to kill this guy. He's going to die. I'm going to kill him down here, and I'm going to bury him, and I can get away with it because he's going to do this again. And I loved that little girl so much, and that guy bragged to me what he had done to her and said, all she does is cry. And I thought, I'm taking her out, and I'm coming back, and I'm going to smash your head in. That's what I'm going to do. Sorry, guys. I'm sorry to say this to y'all, but, I mean, this is the humanity of what it is we deal with. And then my teams were no help because I got with my teams. I told them, I said, I need y'all to go. I got some business to take care of. And they're like, where are you going? I'm like, I got something I got to do. They're like, you going back to that place over there? And like, yeah. And they're like, oh, we've all wondered when this was going to happen. Let's go. And I'm like, y'all are no help. I love you with all my heart. But, you know, because, man, we all, as daddies and as grandparents, man, we live with the stuff in our head of all these stories. And it's very difficult. So everybody asked me, so I was asked on this show, I was doing, they asked me this, what, I was telling that story, and they're like, how did you overcome it? What did you do? And I told them, I'm more scared of unforgiveness than I am of anything else. If I thought I could do justice on that perpetrator and do that in a way that didn't have malice associated with unforgiveness, I'd probably do it. But I'm like, I don't want to take any chances on having to stand before the Lord with unforgiveness in my heart because I'm really scared of unforgiveness. And that's what you walked away from.
Jesus is not playing about unforgiveness. Again, he wasn't sending me to hell. He wasn't like, you're going to hell. Yeah. He was showing me that I'm going to teach you something out of what's happened to you. You got to forgive and teach others to forgive, because this is the one thing that will keep you locked into this place with chains around your neck and torment forever.
Jesus.
If you don't forgive those who, and here's how I forgive people.
Jesus.
I've been there before. You can get so angry, a righteous indignation that you want to take somebody out. But I think about the fact that people are the way they are for a reason. And something made them that way. So the people in the cartel, the people who take advantage of children, the inception of all of that is Satan. So if I take you out, then Satan won. He won. I'm going to be in jail. You're dead. Child's no better. So he won. So the grace of God and the forgiveness of God is how we break the demonic altars of Satan.
Okay. All right, man of God. Number one, man, when I'm around you, I just feel Jesus.
Oh, wow. Amen.
I do. I told y'all that about him. Man, I swear, I got more Jesus out of this brother right here than anybody else I was around up there. Like, the guy just carries Jesus with him, and I love it. And by the way, everybody who has just tuned in, I got to tell you, man, you're watching Pastor Gerald Johnson, and he's talking about his encounter that he had with King Jesus, and that he actually saw hell, that he actually experienced hell and experienced the torment that happens because of unforgiveness. And I think that what he is saying is this: there are people that think they are going to go on with the Lord, but they're not, because they have broke their covenant with Jesus because of unforgiveness within their heart. So guys, if you have a question to ask, I want you to be asking those questions, because in a little while, in about 10 minutes, we're going to go behind the veil, which is exclusive to ODX, and we're going to answer questions and we're going to talk this thing out. And I'm actually going to tell him some of my encounter with Jesus, and we're going to go back and forth, and you don't want to miss that conversation. That's at odx.tv. All right, so Pastor Gerald, so you come out of this, so this whole thing, so now you're real, because it's one thing to hear it from the Lord of, hey, man, you can't, I'm not playing with you. I mean, he actually rebuked you because he said to you, and I love it, oh, love it, where he said, privately, you've been wanting me to punish and take out the people who have been hurting you, and I don't like that. It's kind of like adultery.
Wow.
You know? And this is what God showed me about me hating these traffickers, because, brother, we send them under the bus. I mean, we send them under the bus. Once we get a hold of them in certain countries, they will never get out of prison for the rest of their life. And I don't apologize for that. I'm very happy to do that. And until we shut down pornography here in the United States, because pornography is a gateway to hell. It is. Until we shut down pornography, and until we have serious repercussions for endangering children and touching children, until that happens, it's just going to continue. And so I'm all about those two extremes need to take place. Now, in the midst of that, I can call it Jesus and be full of unforgiveness and hate these guys. And that doesn't fly with the Lord, does it?
No, not at all. People, you know, there's... So when I told this story, it went on TikTok, it went viral. I got a lot of flack all over the world. Got a lot of people saved, but a lot of flack. The most flack came from the church.
Yeah, of course.
Church people. All about it. Yeah. Church people believe that, you know, once saved, always saved, you know. Yeah. By grace, we're saved. Yeah.
You ought to see my stack of hay bale. You ought to see it. Yeah. Oh, man. I'm going to tell you, yeah, I get some from Muslims and from atheists and that, but, dude, the huge majority of it is from Christians.
Yeah, from Christians who... But the actuality is this, like, you know, you like you said, you can do all the stuff, take communion, go to church on Sunday morning, but have a hatred so deep in your heart, you know, and people's hatred have become their idol. So that's their God. Now, a lot of people, they live to punish other people who did them wrong. You know, when the issue is that we have an unrealistic expectation. Trying to hold people what they don't have to give you.
Yep.
Yeah. So the church people believe once saved always saved. You know? But just simple scriptures like Hebrews 6, it says that it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and experienced the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, that word apostate, to renew them again to repentance, seeing that they have.
You crucified. Can't read that verse. That doesn't work in American Christianity.
Yeah. But that men like you and I, women of God, we work for Jesus. We don't work for religion. And when you work for Jesus, you're going to say what the Lord says and not what the status quo. I know for sure that this place is real. It's not a hallucination. It's not some kind of story. Some people say it's no real hell. It's Gehenna. No. Jesus says, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. It's better to enter into life. He's talking about the afterlife with one arm than to enter and to go into hell where the fire never dies out. So if this was just a lake in Gehenna in the earth, that dies out. But there, it never dies, and the worm doesn't die. He doesn't want to send anybody there, though. People send themselves there mostly through unforgiveness.
Okay, so I literally, anytime that I have a personal revival with Jesus and I go through a time where I am really changing, it's because there's some kind of new word God will show me, and I'm like, well, Lord, I didn't know that. He's like, I know, but I know it, and I don't want to live with this with you anymore.
Yeah.
And I mean, and again, he's loving to me, and he's very good to me, but he ain't playing. Mm-hmm. He's like, Troy, you're a grown man. You're pushing 60 years old. Mm. Get it together. Let's go. And unforgiveness has been something that God has truly, the fear of the Lord has come upon me concerning unforgiveness. I mean, really come upon me. So here's how I know when I have no unforgiveness. And sometimes I don't know because my own heart will deceive me and say, you don't got any of that. It's okay. It's all good. But I have to come before the Lord and say, search me, O Lord, and show me. And if you do that, man, he will. I promise you, he will. And I've come before him many times. I say, Lord, I concerning this issue and concerning that issue, and even concerning, like, you know, I have over 900 children that have my last name because they asked me to be their daddy, okay? And they're every race, every creed, they're all Jesus people, but they're every culture you can imagine throughout the world. Okay, well, when you personally invest and you give your heart, and when you were part of their court cases and you've seen the film or you've read the transcripts or you know what's happened to them, or that little girl becomes a young woman and she's like, Dad, I need to tell you this. I'm like, well, tell me. It's okay. Tell me. And this has happened to me many times all over the world. And you listen to them and you hold their hand and they're brave enough to tell you what happened. And they're like, I knew I could trust you with this. And Jesus told me if I told you with this, I would be healed. And I was like, well, you can be healed. And I pray for it. But then leave there and get in bed and be as mad as you've ever been in your whole life. I'm talking about just bawl and squall and cry and bite the pillow and just go, why do you love people the way you do? Because these people are horrible. And go through this and just, and then be done with it and go, okay, I've thrown my fit. I can be healed again and everything will be good. And then the Lord go, whoa, stop. Where are you going? Like, we got to deal with this. Here's how I know when I have true unforgiveness is when I can look at a situation and I don't think that they owe me anything. Nothing. They don't owe me an apology. They don't owe me an explanation. They owe me absolutely nothing. And that is the minimal part of unforgiveness. It goes way, way, way deeper than that.
Yep. You can tell. And also, too, when you see that person or see those individuals and you have love in your heart, I'll tell you a quick story about racism. You know, when I moved to Austin, Texas, I remember one night going to CVS. That's when CVS would stay open. Before COVID, it would stay open late. Three guys drive up in a pickup truck, right, with a Confederate flag. And that's neither here nor there. That's good for some, not good for some, whatever. That's not the flag's not the issue. They drive up, and they see me coming out. And these were, I hope I'm not saying the wrong word, but these were, like, really country boys. Like, hello, brother, how are you? Like, really deep in the country.
So, we've never heard anybody talk like that.
Okay. Yeah.
We're all very astute around here. You're not going to offend me. It's okay. I love you. It's all good.
They drove up. And they didn't say hello, brother. They drove up to me and they said one word.
Wow.
The N-word.
Is that? Were you just shocked? Were you just like, what?
I couldn't believe it.
I mean, I was like, what the heck?
I couldn't. So they drive up to the door. Blake. And they drive off, right? Now, normally, before my encounter, the first thing I'm thinking about is, what's the license plate? Uh-huh. We're gonna figure this out. Somebody, I'm going to crack your head to the white meat. Something's going to happen.
Yeah.
But you know what happened? I felt sorry for him. Because somewhere someone lied to them about the love of God. Mm-hmm. Somebody lied. They're believing a lie about something. That's how you know when you're walking in now in forgiveness as opposed to unforgiveness. When you can, appropriate that anger towards demonic forces. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, as opposed to the individuals. Because you can save who you can forgive. Mm. Offended people can't receive anything. You can't say, have you ever noticed in your church, people, Pastor, I'm not being fed anymore. Well, that's an offended person. You can't feed an offended mouth.
Can I just stop and just tell you this? Listen, anytime anybody goes to the man or the woman of God and says, well, I'm not being fed anymore, I want to just, the audacity of that is something else to me. And so my response that I think initially is, well, you just can't hang with the big boys. You're just not smart enough to receive this gospel.
There you go.
And then I go, okay, I'm going to have issues now. Mm. Me and Jesus are going to have a thing, and I cannot have a... So I want to say this. To be able to deal with an offense, there is... And Jesus says, is it impossible, but that offenses will come?
Yes.
Okay, that's pretty daggum offensive. You're just walking out of a daggum store, and somebody calls you the N-word.
Oh, yeah.
And they think it's funny.
Oh, yeah.
They want to shock you. They want to put you down because they're powerless little dweebs, and they want to feel powerful in a situation. That is offensive.
Yeah.
But it is another thing to say, I serve Jesus with how I steward this. Mm-hmm. And then we need to have a sense of justice, but if our sense of justice is selfish, we're getting off on the wrong side of things.
Absolutely.
And that's what I was telling you, man. I mean, I've got off as extreme of, like, I've literally contemplated murder with certain people that have done horrible things to kids. And I think that any grown man would do that. And I don't think that the Lord faults me for that. The Lord faults me for calling that Jesus. Mm. Mm. Wow. That ain't me.
Yeah.
What are you talking about calling that me? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. And so, can I share with you my racism story?
Go for it, yeah.
Because you'll like it.
Okay.
Okay. So I got saved in 86, I joined a Christian rock band. Okay, we took off, we toured all over the place. Well, I got married, me and Leanna started having babies like jackrabbits, which was awesome. And I was like, I ain't making no money because churches are liars and they don't pay you when they tell you they're going to pay you. Wow. You can play in bars, pay you every time. Never have I ever played in a bar that they said they would pay me, that they didn't pay me. But brother, you start playing in churches... Oh. I promise you right now. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if the spirit moves.
Wow.
And so, anyway, we're going through all that. I was broke, man. We're so daggum poor. Bottom line is, I went to work for Remco, and I became the repo man.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I had 6 projects in Fort Worth, Texas, and I was the repo project guy. That was me. And I made more money than everybody else, and I was really good at it, really good. And show up at the door. So show up at the door, go into the projects, go to the JECs, man. And this is when they were all in, there were 6 different, at that time, there were 6 different projects. This is over 30 years ago in Fort Worth. And they were rough. They're rough. And there were not a white person in that place. If there was a white person walking around in there, they were probably the repo man or they were the law, right? And I was in there. I go in there, knock on the door Saturday morning. And when I do my bill collecting during the week, and then I would do my my actual repo on Saturday morning. So everybody, you know, everybody's got a hangover, everybody's sleeping late, show up there early in the morning. You won't have a lot of trouble because there's not a lot of people going to come help. So I get there. What I would do is if it was their television or if it was something like that, I didn't mind repoing it. But if they were a mama and they had a refrigerator or you were taking away their cook stove, just as a kingdom man, I couldn't reconcile that. So what me and Leanna did was we found a guy on Hemp Hill Street that he would refurbish old cook stoves and refurbish old refrigerators, and me and Leanna would buy those things. And then so what would happen is on the Saturday morning, I'd knock on the door, and I'd say, hey, I'm here to take your fridge. And like, well, there's food in it. I said, I know. I brought an igloo, which I didn't have to do that, but I bring an igloo, and I put their food in there anyway. But it didn't matter. They would cuss you. They would call you everything. I'm talking about bad. Spit on you. Spit on me. Have their kids kick me. Have their little boys and little bitty girls call me the most racist,
horrible things that you can possibly imagine, and then yell and scream and cry as I wheeled that thing out by myself, put it in the van, and took off. I do that on Saturday morning. I would come back after I got off work, knock on the door, me and Leanna would, same people. They'd be like, what you want? And I'm like, I came in the name of Remco this morning, but I'm here in the name of Jesus tonight, and I want to give you this. Okay, I would do that, and those people became lifelong friends to me. Because they knew what they'd done. They knew what they'd done. And they knew how they lived. And me and Leanna actually started our church out of starting kids' churches in all of those projects. And that was the beginnings of Open Door Church.
Wow. That is great.
And I want to tell you, it was offensive. And it was hard. But after a while, I would love it. I'd go, oh, these people are going to get saved tonight.
Yeah.
Because I'm coming back with the friends. Wow. And they're going to go, what? And I'll say, Jesus sent me back here tonight. And they'd be like, I'm so sorry. And then also, too, those people would protect me. I would start telling those people, you see that house over there? I'm about to get their fridge. You need to tell them to let me get it and don't shoot me.
Yep. Wow.
And then I'd go in there like, we heard about you. You coming in here to take my fridge? Here, I've got everything out. I said, yeah, because they knew I was coming back to give them one.
Yeah, in the name of Jesus.
And in the name of Jesus, man. And we had baptism. We would bring these big water troughs, and we would do baptism. We would do all that. But it was shocking. It was shocking at first. And after a while, same thing. They would be saying the worst. And it wasn't for a minute. It would go on and on and on because it'd take a while to get everything out and get everything out. And after a while, I legitimately just felt so sorry for him. I'd be like, this is going to be hard on her when I get back tonight. And I'd feel sorry for him. Sometimes I'd start tearing up, just going, man, this is going to be so hard on you. And I'd start tearing up. And they'd think I was crying because I was so hurt because they were yelling at me. And I'd come back, and then I became friends with them. And they'd be like, that's why you were crying. Where I said, yeah, I knew this was going to hurt you. And she's like, I feel like such a fool. I can't believe. I'm like, man, we're all caught up in something.
And if we would just take those same principles in kingdom, when we get offended, if we just stick it out, if we come back. The issue is that people come back in their own name, not in Jesus'
That's
name.
That's right. That's exactly right.
People are presenting
their own sin of justice with their own sense of justice.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
How their culture dictates they should take care of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And putting their, me, I don't put my Afrocentricity above my spirituality. So I'm a kingdom man first.
Right on.
So if you attack me, then, well, great, that's fine. But I got another gift for you. I'm coming back with a refrigerator in the name of Jesus.
Exactly right. Come on. Mm-hmm. Guys, I'm talking to Pastor Gerald Johnson, and he's the pastor of Faith Culture Church in Austin, Texas. And he's got a heck of a story, how that he saw hell, and he saw that one of the things that just absolutely will send you to hell quicker than anything is unforgiveness. And I want to just encourage you and just tell you this. If you're struggling with unforgiveness, Jesus can set you free. It's just like I'll tell people, if you're struggling with pornography, I promise you Jesus can set you free. I promise you he can. Well, unforgiveness is like, it's like pornography. It's something you look at and look at and look at and look at and look at. And, you know, you got some offensive thing that you look at and look at and look at. And I want to tell you that King Jesus can set you free. If you need prayer, call us. Call this number. I got a whole room full of people, and I'm about to take Pastor Gerald and his beautiful family and his friends. I want to take them over there and show them here our calling center here in a minute. And call them. If you need prayer, if you're like, I have this unforgiveness, I have the fear of the Lord on me, and I need to get rid of this unforgiveness. I need to do that. Okay, listen, you can and you must. Pastor Gerald, would you please pray for everybody, sir?
Sure, absolutely. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I want to encourage you to step right now under the mantle that this man of God just spoke about, the fear of God, not being scared of God, but the reverence of God, and making sure that you really honor his sacrifice. He died so that sins may be forgiven. So we honor your sacrifice, and we step into that, and we forgive others. Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now.
Jesus.
Thanking you and praising you for who you are and for what you've done in our lives. We thank you for the day that we gave our hearts to you. We thank you for all that we had to walk through and all that you forgave us of. And now we ask you for the supernatural ability to release those that we have been holding in our future. It's time for us to stop living life in the rearview mirror.
Jesus.
It's time for us to stop taking people into next spaces that don't belong there. Lord, help us to be able to release that dad that touched them. Help us to be able to release that mother that wasn't there, and to release that church member that hurt them, or release that person that robbed them. Release that person in Jesus' name. We can't do it without your help. We're asking, Lord God, that you would just release a spirit on us right now to walk into new levels of freedom, leaving bondages behind in the matchless name of Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen. Listen, if you just prayed that prayer and you feel like you've been set free, call us and tell us and let us celebrate with you. Pastor Gerald, how do people find you? How do people find your ministry? What does that look like?
Well, you can, if you want to reach out to me, faithculturechurch.org is a great place. I'm on all the social platforms, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Gerald A. Johnson on all of those. And hey, let's just share any type of testimony from what you experienced today. And those are the best ways to reach out to me.
I'm going to start following you as of today, And man, I bless you. Hey, listen, you're going to have to come back.
I'd love to.
Okay. Now, I don't want you to leave yet, okay, if you'll just stay here for just a little bit, because once we go behind the veil, we have lots and lots of questions that people want to ask you, and we're going to make this exclusive for all of my partners, Stage 2 and Stage 3 at odx.tv, and this has been good.
It's been great.
I have felt the Lord the whole time. I feel so at home with you.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
I feel like me and you have been friends for a long, long, long time.
Kindred spirits. Yeah. You know, you talk about numbers a lot, too. I see the number 911 a lot. Whenever I'm supposed to make a major decision, 911, it'll be the time or the address or something like that. So we connect on that. I'm glad to say that you are a true man of God that carries the heart of Jesus in a way that I haven't seen yet. You know, and it's a pleasure to meet you and your whole staff.
Thank you. Well, it's a great privilege to meet y'all, too. I promise you this will be the last time.
Thank you.
Well, stay where you're at. And friends, if you're watching on odx.tv, man, you stay where you're at, because we're about to just stay right there. That's all you got to do. For everybody that's watching across all the different platforms, thank you so much for joining us. Join us again tomorrow. We have, who do we have on tomorrow? We got Sawman is on
tomorrow.
And what is Sawman's real name? What is his name?
I have no clue. That's all I know. Sawman.
I just call him Sawman.
So he's one of the guys that killed Bin Laden. He's one of the guys that killed Bin Laden. And also, too, he rescues kids all over the world. Yep. I met him in California here just a few weeks ago.
He's a man.
And he is a bad motor scooter. I promise you, man. I love this dude. You'll love him, too. And then, of course, tomorrow night, I will be at Open Door Church. And I'll also be back here on Sunday for part two of my new sermon series,
Undercover
Boss, when God shows up and you don't know it's him. Right on.
Wow.
All right, guys. I love you so much. For everybody that's on odx.tv, stay right where you are. And everybody else, I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favor the Lord. Watch this video.
Human trafficking, the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen. It's not just a global problem. It's our problem, and it's closer than you think. In just 4 years of open borders, our nation became a trafficking superhighway, resulting in over 350,000 kids just vanishing. It's time to say, not on our watch, not on our land, and not to our children. Our team of rescuers has spent the last 30 years rescuing and raising over 11,000 kids here in the U.S. and all over the world. We have over 51 safe homes and more than 4,000 children in our care right now. But we could have 10 times that. We just need your support. Please call now and join our team of rescuers. Call 877-413-0888 or go to troybrewer.com. Get in this fight today, because if we don't show up for these kids, nobody else is coming.